welcome our priest fathers here, and the deacon and the servants. Just thank them for being here. Jesus has great plans for his priesthood. He says to Louisa, basically, that the one in charge of the town is not the chief of police, it's not the mayor, it's the pastor. He is the father of that community. And not only of the Catholics, but of every person in the community. So when someone dies in their parish, the parish limits, the parish boundaries, no matter who they are, Buddhist, Jew, Hindu, Muslim, Protestant, atheist, Jesus is going to say to that priest, what did you do for those people? How did this person get to hell? What did you do to help that person enter into the kingdom? And the bishops are even worse. It's for everybody in their diocese. And so, you know, this is why, you know, Teresa of Avila says that the pavement of hell is covered with the skulls of priests. We have to pray for our priests. The devils are after them. If he can kill one priest, basically he's killed the entire parish. So what we need is we need to pray for our priests. It's very, very important that we do this every day. At Holy Mass, Jesus says to pray for all those who must live in the divine will. It's not just for those who try to live in the divine will. I mean, people have said that to me. Well, I'm living in the divine will. Like I said, do you know these 6 points? Do you understand what this means? It's total surrender to Jesus. Total docility to Jesus. Complete submission. Complete docility. Complete surrender. It's not just trying to be good. It's you have to be good. Now, when we look at life today, it's impossible, like I said right from the beginning, to become a saint. Jesus wants us to be more than saints. So what does he say? He says, I'm going to do something for you. And this is what he says to Louisa. Now, if you haven't received the email on September 23rd, I'll send it to you. There's another one coming that's even better than this one. But this is what we read today. Jesus says, I'm going to give a great sign in the sky to prove to the world that the kingdom is going to be established on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what we read the first reading. That's what's happening on September 23rd. Everything there is going to... It's not a prophecy. It's an actuality. Like people go, well, you don't go by dates. Well, that's true, you don't. This is not a prophecy. What John wrote 2,000 years ago is going to happen. This is September 23rd. It's going to be in the sky. The only time in 7,000 years. That says to me, He says, I'm going to put a greater sign in the sky to prove to the world that the kingdom is going to be established on earth as it is in heaven. And he says to Louisa, we're going to read this, hopefully we get to it this afternoon. Sometimes we get dragged in. Jesus says, it's coming. It's going to happen. It's a divine decree. As creation was a divine decree, as redemption was a divine decree, sanctification is a divine decree. No one is going to get in the way. And he says very clearly to Louisa, it's coming. You're either going to receive it by divine mercy, which we had last year. This is what Jesus said to St. Faustina. I will give the world a time of mercy, and then the time of justice comes. Jesus says, the kingdom is coming, and he's inviting us to have the same gift that he gave to Louisa. Listen how generous he is. We have done nothing. Yet, exactly what St. Julian of Montfort says, they'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world, and it's nothing that they have done but what God has done for them. That's the great gift of the divine will. So what God is doing, and this is what's really fun, what we read this morning, you're going to see in the sky. But again, it's going to be invisible because it's going to be during the day, but you're going to see it on the computer. You'll see it on the internet. That which John prophesied about 2,000 years ago is happening a little more than a month from now. This is glorious. This is really glorious. That's why the next thing you see is we lost this gift of the divine will because of Adam. And Adam sinned. We've fallen into this horrible condition of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. And Jesus is saying to us, I've had it. I've had it. I know how you live, and I'm tired of it. So Jesus says, I'm going to give the world a sign. So we're going to rejoice when everybody's going to go, what does this mean? What does this mean? It's very simple what it means. The kingdom is coming now on earth as it is in heaven. This is what's really, really astonishing. And it says it's Jesus. Jesus is the one who has done this. Jesus is the first fruit. Jesus is the one who destroyed everything by his sovereignty, authority, and power. Jesus is going to hand over the kingdom of God to the Father. What does Jesus, the new Adam, and Mary, the new Eve, what have they done? They have a newborn. This is what they call Elisa, the newborn of the divine will. The firstborn of the second generation of the children of light. Louisa becomes the mother of all the children of the divine will. Like I said with the chalice, she turned around, she says, why are all these people behind me? And Jesus says, these are the people that I have given to you, Louisa. This is so important to God that he has given us to the newborn. If you want to be a Franciscan, you follow Francis. If you want to be a Benedictine, you follow Benedict. If you want to be a Dominican, you follow Dominic. If you want the divine will, you go to the one who possesses it. And that's Louisa. So what does Jesus say? What does God give us as the gospel for today? This is our feast day, where Our Lady has gone, we hope to follow. Our place isn't here. It always reminds me of a bus station. When I was in the seminary, we could go home on the weekends, unless you were in junk, which means you were in trouble. That's where I usually was, in junk, translating Latin for another couple of hours, missing the bus. But when I would get home occasionally and get down to the bus terminal in Rochester, it was not a nice place to be. I used to sit back as far as I could because I didn't want anybody sitting behind me, But it was always near bathrooms, and they didn't smell very good. That's what I think of this life. We are waiting in a terminal near the bathroom with a lot of strange people around us, waiting to go home. Our Lord loves us so much, and we give our fiat. A lot of us have gone through great difficulties, great sufferings, great humiliations, great difficulties, which Jesus says when we get to heaven, we will see them as blessings. He's going to show us when we get to heaven what suffering is about. And all of us, to a person, will say to Jesus, can I go back to earth to suffer? Because I see how powerful suffering is, how redemptive suffering is. And Jesus is going to say to us, you had your chance. You had your opportunity. This is the time. This is redemptive. All of us are going through difficult times. Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, sin is part of our life. And Jesus says, I want to free you of that so that you can live a peaceful, joyful, happy life. The baby leapt in her womb with joy. The apostles were filled with joy at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says the wise men were drunk with joy when they saw the star in the sky. Joy is a sign of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord is asking us to be joy-filled. Okay, how can we be joy-filled if we're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative? It's impossible. This is why Jesus keeps on saying to us, I want you to come back to me. This is, again, the narrow road is between these two candles. The narrow road is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It's the sacraments of the Church. It's going to be the sacramentals that you bring home with you. Oh, and again, if you have any water down here, just pour the water into the bucket up here. It's already blessed. You can add water to it. Don't worry. You won't lose the blessing. And even when you get home, with the bottle, if you have a bottle this big, put a line just above halfway at 51%. And you will always have holy water. Exercise holy water by just adding water to it. So what I usually do is I sprinkle, goes down, I fill it up. And the blessing, this is how wise God is. He knows we need exercise holy water. He knows this. If the priest had used exercise holy water continuously, the blessing now is blessed water. May this water be blessed and for our use, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. That's blessed water. Exercise holy water is exercise. It's like the exercise bells. When you ring the bell, there's seven psalms that are read. The demons must obey. They hear the priest in the ringing of the one bell, all seven psalms, and they have to flee. The ringing of bells is very, very important. The exercise salt is very, very important. The exercise oil is very, very important. We're facing not people. We're facing principalities and powers. We need the sacramentals of the church. Wear your scapular. The two times I broke my back, I wasn't wearing my scapular. When I'm not wearing my scapular, don't get near any trees. No. I try not to go do anything without my scapular. I mean, I hit twice. Can you imagine? Three times you're out. So wear your scapular. It protects you. I'm not kidding you. It protects you. If you have bad dreams at night, exercise holy water. Bless yourself. Exercise salt. Exercise oil. And see, we're going to get into the blessing of everyone here because the main thing for the divine will is to be healed spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. God wants healing. Like he says to Louisa, basically, the rectories are empty, the hospitals are full, the psychiatric units are full, the prisons are full. It's the priest's job to empty them. Don't be Protestant. Work without priests. Work with priests. Pray with priests. Beg priests for their blessing. It's not their blessing. It's Jesus' blessing. Don't leave Mass before the end of Mass because it's Jesus' blessing. So those that anybody wanted to become Third Order, I've got a calling here, maybe wanted to. All right, what we'll do is at lunchtime, we'll go into the private chapel and we'll do the blessing there, okay? For those that want to. So about 12:45, we'll go over here to the little chapel, all right? And again, any water, pour it in the big bucket out there. There's empty gallons out there, gallon jars. Those that get there first get them. You can just fill up your water. Every house should have a font near their door. You should have a water font that you can bless yourself with. This is very important. Your home has to become your parish. That's what the Vatican II said. You should have a place of worship, not the place that everybody has, where you have the tabernacle of the devil, or as the Opus Sanctorum Angelorum says, the hypnotic eye of death. Or the boob tube. The head of the Satanic Order said, we don't care what you're watching. As long as the television is on, it puts you in a receptive mood. There's a frequency that puts you in a receptive mood. And I know a number of people have said, I just want noise in my house, just somebody there. Well, you know, don't use the television. Where was it said that there will be a black tabernacle in every house? This is where everybody gathers. This is where everybody focuses on. And it's like the hypnotic eye of death. No matter if you're 8 or 80, you're there for hours. Wasted time. The computer, I think it was 3 years ago, the hand computer, they said the children were wasting 6 million hours of wasted time. It's worse now. Jesus is asking us, would you be willing to take their place to pray and adore me and to love me? Are you willing to enter into heaven while on earth? And when we say fiat, yes, Lord, then everything begins to happen. And that's why this gospel passage is so important.
This is our prayer. My being proclaims the greatness of the Lord. We're echoing Mary's prayer. We're repeating. We want the life that Mary possesses. Theotokos, the mother of God. We want Jesus' life reigning in us. My being proclaims the greatness of the Lord. That means no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. That means we really have to fight the demons that are within. And how? Well, we exercise holy water, exercise oil, exercise salt, exercise bowel. As you bring this, and you call upon the name of the Lord, the bells all have to have an engraving of a cross on it. Because the demons here, with this engraving of the cross, in the name of Jesus, flee. They hear this. But if you don't have a blessing, on the bell, it sort of like defeats the cause. Everything you call upon the name of the Lord, you see a thunderstorm coming, hailstorm coming, ring the bell. Ask for goodness. You say, Jesus, protect us, ringing the bell. And I've seen things happen that are astonishing. A friend of mine, when he was in the Philippines, the volcano blew up and it was coming right towards his island. And he stood on the beach and he said, no. The thing parted. The fumes parted and went over. He says, nothing happened to my island. That was a priest. When you use the sacramentals, it's the priest's blessing that does it. It's why Jesus is praying through the priest's prayer. We're nobody. We're nothing. Jesus wants us to allow you to possess what he wants to give you, and it's through the priest. So again, this prayer, when you read it next time, make it your prayer. In the divine will, my being proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit finds joy in God, my Savior. As you go through it, every verse is so important that Jesus wants to transform us. So let us pray our profession of faith. I believe.